St. Luke chapter 14, verse 16.
A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready."
Dear baptized of God, dear baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, many have no doubt read this parable or heard it and thought to themselves, "This is nothing special. Just another story. Wow, a king invites people to a party. Big deal. Some come, some don't. Big deal." But children of God, being baptized of God, those are not your thoughts. Because you've been called by the gospel and by grace, you've been given spiritual ears to hear and a spiritual heart to believe and to love God's word and to love those hidden meanings contained in the parables of our Lord. God's Spirit gives you understanding. And so Jesus says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." By the power of His Spirit, these words today convey to you a meaning a lot deeper than what lies on the surface. It's not just another story. And it's certainly no ordinary one by any means, because it's no ordinary king and he sends no ordinary servant. The story has the triune God written all over it. The king is none other than God the Father Almighty, who sends his Son, his only begotten Son. And it is the Spirit who works in you and me by the word of his Son. The king in the parable sends forth who with the invitation? Who? A servant. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, yet not to be served, but to serve. Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. Some might think that the most humiliating thing Jesus did as God's servant was to wash the feet of his own disciples. But he went way further than that by taking our blame, the blame that we should have got, the guilt and the punishment that we deserved for every single thing we've ever done wrong. There's your meal. There's your supper, the banquet, to which you and I and all people actually are invited. Jesus lived and died and rose again for us all. That must mean that he did it for you and for me. That is food for our soul. So the call goes out, "Come, for all things are now ready." And what happened? They didn't want it. They didn't want Jesus
The scripture says he came unto his own received him not. How sad. They were looking for a much different kind of Savior, one who would grant them their earthly desires and restore power to their earthly kingdom. Things aren't so different today. Lord, that's such a nice thing you're offering me today. But no thanks. I've got better things to do. By grace, that's not our attitude, but we have to confess that often still we forget that the invitation comes not only on Sunday morning. We forget it comes every day through God's Word in spirit, through the Word in our memory, through the Word in our heart and soul. For God's Spirit lives and moves within us by the Word. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So Christ invites us daily to put everything away for a moment. Put everything aside, even if it is just for the shortest of moments, and to simply take in, receive the comfort of His Word, to remember our baptism, and to find rest for our eternal soul. Come, for all things are now ready. Is there anything more beautiful, more inviting and comforting and assuring than these words? All things are now ready. Everything is prepared. Everything is accomplished for your salvation. Jesus says, just come. Take, eat, drink. As he says, this is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of all your sin. And as great as that specific meal is, the Lord's Supper, yet the supper of salvation to which Jesus refers today includes even more than that. It is also your baptism, where water and the Word are joined to wash your sin away. It's also the gospel preached and heard and read, the good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's also the absolution, the pronouncement that your sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. And our Lord is never stingy with what He provides in the meal. He doesn't give us a little taste and then send us away still hungering. He doesn't forgive some sins and then leave others for us to pay for. That's the lie of purgatory, that we just haven't quite gotten all our sins taken care of yet. Got to spend time in purgatory to suffer and pay for those sins. That's a lie. Jesus meant what he said when he said on the cross, it's finished. And he says clearly, come, for all things are now ready. Not well, someday it might be ready after years in purgatory. Not sometime later, maybe it'll be ready. He says, come, for all things are now ready. Everything is prepared already. And he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Everything is complete already. Nothing left undone regarding our salvation. And he says, simply believe, and you will be saved. To this feast, we are to come just as we are, no matter how great our sin has been. Just come, he says, and eat and drink and receive and believe, and we do find rest unto our soul. And the wisdom of the world responds, that's boring. I gotta have something more than that. I gotta be entertained and wowed, and I've got better things to do. Besides which, who needs that Jesus stuff when I've got my earthly stuff and my earthly relationships? But those recent tornadoes only proved that this life is not forever, and our earthly things are not forever. Even marriage, which God created, is not forever. Yet those were the excuses given. One had to tend to his field, another had to tend to his animal, another to his wife. Possessions, careers, family are by no means unimportant. God himself calls on us to take care of these very things, but what are they when compared to our baptism, the Lord's Supper, the gift of God's Spirit, the gift of faith, and the gift of everlasting life? All our earthly things will be gone someday, but the Word of our God stands forever, and those who cling to it will live forever. And that is you and me, baptized of God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We need Jesus Christ, God's Son. We need his promises. We need to know that he made satisfaction for our sin. We need to know that he made perfect peace between us and God. Baptized of God, you have that assurance. You have that comfort by the means of grace, by the Word, by the sacraments, and by God's Spirit working in your heart through those scenes of grace. The gospel gives what cannot fade away. It gives eternal life in Christ. It sets us free from the power of sin. It gives us a clear conscience because it covers us in the perfect life of God's Son. We need his perfect life to be saved and to be counted worthy to enter eternal life. We need his forgiveness for our many sins. We need deliverance from death We need Christ, who rose from the dead and promises that we too will rise. We need His supper. And His supper has everything our spiritual hunger requires. Come, for all things are now ready. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we do find rest unto our soul. And we do find that our thirst is quenched. For Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come, for all things are now ready. May He then continue to keep us in that true faith by His Word, by His Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.